Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 15, speaking the truth in love, so that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Christ is the head. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. You're the joints. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. Sometimes you hear people and they start to criticize somebody. And sometimes they will see what they think is a weakness or a flaw in someone and they'll start to point it out to them. And they feel justified because they think, well, we have to speak the truth in love. So because I love you, I'm going to speak what I see as truth, which is just an opinion, actually, based in judgment. We're not to do that. But this is how they justify it. They say, well, I got to tell you the truth in love, and then they proceed to shred you. Now, what about love shreds people? I don't quite know. What about truth involves opinion? That I don't know either. It's not actually what it means, although that's the way people like to use it. A lot of us have seen people do that. Well, truth and love. Gotta tell you, the truth and love. No truth, no love in it. What it's actually saying is you speak the truth. In John 17:17, the word of God is truth. Sometimes people will do that because they think facts are truth. We've talked about this before. Facts are not the same as truth. Facts are the way that I interpret things that I can see or hear or what have you. And then that interpretation, the conclusion of it, I'll call it a fact. People will say some very dumb things sometimes because they're based in their own interpretation and their interpretation tells them that this is a fact. Well, it's a fact. No, it's not even remotely close to reality, but they'll still say it's a fact. Why? Because facts are subjective. Facts are based in opinion. Facts are based in the parts of our mind, which is about 80%, that we have absolutely no control over. Facts are not reliable. I see that this is how you are. Now, you don't necessarily know that. You have to judge the person in order to come to that conclusion. God says we don't do that, but this is what people do. And they say, I see how you are, therefore I'm going to criticize you so that you can change truth and love, right? Doesn't even remotely resemble truth and love. Truth is the Word of God. Truth is the Word of God. John 17:17, truth is the Word of God. In love is in the character of God. So what he's saying here is, speak the word of God in the character of God. It's not saying go out and criticize somebody on the basis of what you judge them to be. It's saying speak the word of God in the character of God. That they may grow up into Him who is the head, that is to say, Christ. A whole lot different, isn't it? Criticize somebody so they may become like Christ. No. Speak the word of God in the character of God that they may grow up, that they may mature, that they may develop into the image of God's Son. From whom the whole body is joined and knit together. It's Christ that we have in common because we are the body of Christ. We're members one of another because we are the body of Christ. So the union that we have, the thing that holds believers together is Christ Himself because they are the body of Christ. And that way, your portion within the body of Christ can become effective. And it causes the body to build itself. One person builds up another person. Why? Because they're speaking the truth in love. They're giving the heart of God. They're giving the word of God, the mind of God. And when you give the mind of God and the heart of God, God already tells us what He thinks. It's not hard to figure out what the mind of God is. We give the mind of God and the heart of God, and we build the body. We build each other, and we are the body. That benefits both. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Your relationship to each other depends on your relationship to the head, because you are the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Just like the human soul lives inside of every human, the Holy Spirit lives inside of everyone who is the body of Christ. That is to say, all those people who are saved. If the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you are necessarily the body of Christ, because it's Christ's Spirit that's living in you. Now, as Christ's Spirit lives in me, it's very important, because I'm the body, to respond to that Spirit. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. He is our comforter. He is our helper. He does all the things that God does for us. They come through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. That was through Christ. I'm talking about what happens after salvation. Growth. Learning the Word. Learning how to love. Receiving the love of God. Facing challenges. Facing good times. All of it, we do it through the Holy Spirit. He guides us in all truth as we go through every circumstance. As you have relationships, maybe friendships with people, the Holy Spirit is guiding you in those friendships. Have you ever run across somebody and you said to yourself, that's not a person for me to be a friend of? Watch out for that one. Have you ever had that feeling? Maybe you didn't know what to do with it. But something inside of you said, watch out for that one. Well, very often that can be the Holy Spirit. Recognizing another spirit. I remember when I was young, once in a while you'd encounter somebody and they would say something. And inside of you, I didn't have any doctrine yet, though I was saved. Inside of you, you just know, this is not right. I couldn't tell you why, but I knew it was not right. I'll never forget, I was in college, and this one guy in there, he was some kind of an evangelist claiming to be, he said, you have to be baptized to be saved. And something inside of me said, this is not right. I didn't know the doctrine yet, but I had a witness inside that this is not right. Baptism is important, but it happens after you're saved. It doesn't happen in order for you to be saved. The only way to be saved is to believe on Him whom He has sent. In other words, we trust Jesus Christ to save us, to be who He said. We believe Him, and therefore we're saved. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit enters into us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is there inside of you forever. Sometimes people think that the Holy Spirit will leave once they get to heaven. That's not correct. The Holy Spirit will stay inside of you forever. Once you're the body of Christ, you don't change that. That cannot be changed. Once you are the body of Christ, you're sealed for eternity. To seal somebody means literally God puts His stamp of ownership on you. Now, We're not talking about a physical thing that happens to your physical body. We're talking about a spiritual thing, but the spiritual things are more real very often than the physical things, because the physical things pass away, the spiritual things do not. If you have a cattle rancher, I don't know if they still do this today, but they used to. He would take a brand, which is basically like a symbol or a stamp or something like that, and it would be made of metal, it would be attached to a long metal pole, and it would be heated up. He would burn that symbol into the cattle. Usually it was on the rump. And forever, that cattle would have the seal that that cattle is owned by that ranch. We have something similar spiritually. God puts His seal on us through the Holy Spirit. We're owned by Him, but not in the negative sense, not in the sense like people used to own slaves, which was evil. But in the sense of a parent owns a child. They don't literally own the child, but it's their child. Everything about that child is theirs. The child comes from them. They're responsible for the child. They love the child. They relate to the child. They bring up the child. Everything the child needs, the parent takes care of it. It's their child. That's the kind of ownership we're talking about. That ownership can never be destroyed. God puts His Holy Spirit inside of you, and now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, you could say you're the house of the Holy Spirit, but because it's God, it's referred to as a temple. You're basically His home. You are the home of God. He lives in you. He's never leaving you. Now, there are three expressions of God. This is completely going differently than what I have prepared. The Holy Spirit does that sometimes. There are three expressions of God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We call them the Trinity or the Triune God. People like to say the three persons of God. That is really not a good way to call it. I get what they're trying to say. And a lot of people scratch their head. How can there be three persons, but God is one, one God? And people have a hard time figuring it out. I think they have a hard time figuring it out because they overthink it. It's actually so simple, you just tend to overlook it. It means that God has three expressions. That's all it is. It's one God. So when the Holy Spirit is inside of you, it is all of one God that is inside of you. God said there is no God other than Him. And so it's definitely the fullness of God that lives inside of you when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But the Holy Spirit is one of three expressions of who God is. We call Him the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how the Word of God puts it. He's a Father, He's a Son, and He's a Holy Spirit. The Father is the expression of God that plans everything. The Son is the expression of God that put all the plans into action. The Holy Spirit is the expression of God that lives inside of you. God poured out on man is the Holy Spirit. God in the form of a man is the Son, that's Christ. God in heaven on the throne, who is the planner and originator of all things, that's the Father. Sometimes this can be difficult for people to grasp. Think of a person who is a doctor, a man who's a doctor. And this man is married and he has children and he is a doctor. If you approach that man as a doctor, you will have a certain type of experience with him. But it will not be the experience you would have if you're married to him or if you're his kid. It'll be a patient-doctor relationship. Now, the doctor's wife or his children do not have a patient-doctor relationship with that man. His patients do. But his wife and children do not. His wife has a husband-wife relationship with him. His patients and his children do not have that relationship. His wife does. His children have a father and child relationship. The wife does not have that, and the patients do not have that. The children have that. It's all the same man. It's not really hard to understand what the Trinity is. The Trinity is three expressions of one God. Just the same way as a man who is a doctor, who has a family and a wife, that man will have three expressions of the same man. And the experience with that man will depend on the way that you come to him. I come to him as a doctor, as a husband, as a dad, different experiences. It's still the same man. The Holy Spirit is God. Fullness of God, there is just the one God. God poured out on us, living in us. That's the Holy Spirit. You literally have all that God is living inside of you. He will never leave. Once you are in heaven, He stays. Once you're in heaven, you can start much more than you can now, having all three expressions of that relationship taking place at the same time. That's why while we're the body of Christ, and we are the body because His Spirit is inside of us, in heaven we're not the body of Christ alone, we're also the bride of Christ. Why? Because we can have a relationship with the Son now, as well as with the Holy Spirit at the same time. We can have both of these interactions with God simultaneously. Here we can only have it as the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that's who God sent to be on the earth after Jesus left. He said, I'm going to give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He'll guide you in all truth. He's residing in us. Now we have this relationship with just the one manifestation of God, expression of God. In heaven, we'll have a relationship with all three expressions of God. We'll have that relationship with Him as a dad. We'll have that relationship with Him as a husband. We'll have the relationship with Him as He still indwells us and we're still the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That means you can have tremendous confidence. That means you can have tremendous expectation. That means that there is absolutely not one thing that takes place in your life that is not from God. Sometimes when bad things happen, people say, how can that be from God? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of the believer. And that bad thing could not happen if God didn't give His go-ahead. When something bad happens, be careful that you not be too quick to evaluate it as good or bad. Yes, the details may be bad. I'm not saying that the details aren't bad. Some things are just wicked. But the outcome is what God is interested in. The bad detail was permitted so that a process would be started to give a wonderful outcome. So even in the bad things, because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, because He guides you in all truth, even in the bad things, those bad things will produce a great outcome. The Word of God says that the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Because no matter what the start is, Whether I consider it a good thing or a bad thing doesn't matter. The outcome will be better than the start of it. Why? Because that thing brought a process that's used by the Holy Spirit who's living inside of you to develop you, to bless you, to cause you to grow, to conform you, to make you be just like the Savior. So you can be an expression of Him, so you can get to know Him, so you can have a richness of relationship with Him, so that you can know the love of God. That's why any bad thing happens. Ultimately, so you can know the love of God. That Holy Spirit inside of you, He's absolutely everything. Now, sometimes people say to themselves, I don't need the Word of God, I have the Holy Spirit. That's really dumb. That's like saying, I live in, I don't know, pick a place, Portugal, therefore I don't need to learn Portuguese, because I live in Portugal. What sense does that make? It's because you live in Portugal that you need to learn Portuguese. Otherwise, you can't communicate. It's because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you that you need the Word of God. The Word of God is the language of the Holy Spirit. If I can't understand the language of the Holy Spirit, my communication with Him is going to be severely limited. Now, you can go to Portugal and smile at somebody and wave at them, and they'll understand what you're doing. They'll say, oh, you're friendly, and you're saying hello. On the other hand, if you actually want to have a conversation with them, you better learn the language. You can have some vague, general communication with the Holy Spirit if you don't have the Word of God, and you'll still understand what He's trying to say, but you better know the language if you want to have a conversation with Him. If you want to actually have a rich relationship with Him, if you actually want to get to know what He's thinking, you better know how to hear from Him in the language that He speaks. God speaks Word of God. That's His language. When you receive the Word of God, the more that you receive it, the more you start to hear from the Holy Spirit, because He speaks Word of God. And then when you have a healthy background in the Word of God, healthy substance, a healthy frame of reference in the Word of God, very easy for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to guide you, to give you His thoughts, to give you answers, to give you everything that you need. Because you speak the Word of God language that the Holy Spirit speaks. You're the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. So as the body of Christ, you operate the way that Christ said His body operates. You express truth in the heart of God, and then you become edified, that is to say, built up, and others in the body of Christ become built up also. That's your relationship to the people in church. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.